Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord our God, whose compassion is the cause of our fearing, and loving your name, mercifully pour out your grace into our hearts, that we, casting away what displeases you, may be united with you in honest will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, last Sunday, Reverend Christopher Chan introduced our new sermon series, Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ, through the lens of Paul's epistles to Ephesians. In line with John Mackay and John Stott, he encouraged us to see the world that we live in as a new world, new outlook, new experiences, new attitude toward other people as we are going through together with these epistles. So at the end of the series, it is very important for us that Jesus is the center of our beingness. In every circumstances, every moment of our life, while God is forming and shaping our maturity and our unity in the body of Christ. This Sunday after Transfigurations, our title is Blessed with Every Spiritual Blessing, based on our scripture readings from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 10. So before we dive into the text, we need to understand for two things for our context here. The first one, who are the first readers? So in our case, they are Ephesians, the Christians in the house churches in a great and evil city in the Asian world. They are from different races, different ethnicities, different faith backgrounds, and new believer to faith, primarily a Gentile church. Secondly, the question is, what is the geocultural backdrop to these young Christians, and what is going on inside the church? So in the biblical world, Gentile values share the similar culture of our days. People make idols of things like nations, races, ethnicities, vocations, and political systems. The society practices injustice as a accepted part of everyday life. They promote exploitations and feel no remorse in profiting the suffering of others. Violence is a routine way to deal with the conflict in the road, in the street, in the home, and between nations. Ultimately, reality for them is to try to convince people that such a fragmented existence is normal. Fragmented existence is normal. On the other hand, inside the church, there was the ideological clash in the early Christian movement. So it took place among the Jewish community forms in the Hellenistic culture outside of Judea and among the Gentile communities to whom Paul and his fellow missionaries were vigorously extending the fellowship at the Lord's table. Outside the cultural chaos, inside, questions of legitimate authority, behavioral norms, and the wall of social hierarchies are pressing upon these young Christians. So these young Christians found themselves very difficult to understand the meaning of being a Christian and the real blessings of God in the midst of immense social and religious pressures. So for that, Paul needed to give a robust pastoral response for them. So with this context in mind, let us dive into the text today. Let me begin with these questions, my brothers and sisters. What is blessing for us? In other words, what does it mean, blessings to you? So blessing for us is many things. Maybe having mother embrace, mutual love in the family, having children, having a lot of friends, having peace, having economic stability, maybe having HDB, condo, private houses, cars, freedom from oppressions, and warfare. And might be a well-being in terms of our health. In our desperate situation like us, blessing is salvation, redemption, and reconciliation. Most importantly, blessing is a way of life, a way that generates life and blessings. Opposite of blessing is a way of death and curse. It is a way of life that destroys peace, justice, and it makes people fearful and distrustful, which eradicates all the possibility of genuine communities. But for the psalmist, it is very important for the psalmist, the blessing is remembering who God is. Blessing is remembering who God is. Psalm 24 verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." It means God owns the earth. We human beings are not his owner. We depend on earth for our entire existence, and thereof part of those whom God owns. So this claims undercuts the arrogant attitudes of our human beings when we think of we own the earth and we may do as we please. In line with this fundamental tenet of the Hebrew scriptures, Paul reminds the Christian Ephesians, including us here, that the wonders of God's blessings that were conferred on Israel is for the sake of Israel and the all humanity through Jesus Christ. Israel and all humanity through Jesus Christ. For us, God has been blessed us with the heavenly blessing through his Son, Jesus Christ, and in him, the blessings are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So what are these spiritual blessings? These spiritual blessings are grace, redemptions, forgiveness, wisdoms, the knowledge of God's will, inheritance, and the consummations of all things in heaven and on earth. Yet again, the question still remains, my brothers and sisters. How do we get these spiritual blessings? One of the amazing things about the text today is the very first sentence which says, verse 3, "He has blessed us." Who is us? It is all of us here, the Christians who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. The word here, blessed, is past tense, which indicates we already have, already received every spiritual blessings when we become Christians. But the question still remains, how? How do we get these spiritual blessings? But for Paul, he used the word phrase, in Christ, as we can see in the slides. It is indeed the favorite phrase of Paul, as we can see in 12 times in a short passage of verse 1 to 14. Out of the 164 occurrences in the New Testament, 36 times he used in Ephesians. Paul explains all these spiritual blessings come in Christ Jesus, as we can see in the slide again. In this regard, Paul literally means it. He literally means it, Christ being in us, so we receive that spiritual blessings. Then it means we gain grace in him, we receive forgiveness in him, we have redemption in him, we obtain wisdom in him, we get the mystery of God in him, we get God's purpose for us in him, we get every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. So if we don't have Jesus, we don't have anything. So all the blessings come in him. All of them, once you have Jesus, you have everything. So Paul teaches us we are embodied in Christ and share his death and his resurrections. As a result, believers are closely connected to Christ and closely connected to one another. So in him that we are blessed, elected, redeemed, sealed, and gathered up as one family, the church. So now we know in Christ we receive every spiritual blessings, but to deepen our understanding on these blessings, we need to understand the relationship we have in God. God is no longer, O Lord our God, the King of universe. Rather, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have received all blessings from the words and the works of Jesus. At the same time, we become the children of God through adoptions by God in Christ. So God chooses us in him before the foundation of the world to be his people and his children. But I will not go into explanation of the doctrine of predestination and his arguments. Nonetheless, the divine election involves the eternal choice, which was not based on the worthiness of Abraham and of Israel, but entirely on God's love for them and for us. So John's way of saying, God chooses us in Christ. In him, all things were made. Through him and without him was not anything made that was made. So adoptions of us, my brothers and sisters, as the sons and daughters of God, is God's desire to have the intimate relationship with our human beings. God disclosed God's self in human history through Jesus Christ, and it's opened the invitation to others to participate in the life of God the Father. So in the ancient world, the first century Palestinians, the people did not adopt children to raise them the way we do today. For then they adopted children not because they wanted to raise them children, but because they wanted to have an heir. So in those days, women were never adopted, and they were not chosen to be heirs, and only men were chosen to be heirs. What Paul's saying here is, in Christ, men and women, slave and free, Gentile, Jews, are equal heirs of every spiritual blessings. So what then is being the children of God as part of inheritance? So three parts. In the legal sense, inheritance refers to the transfer of actual property of goods received after a member of family death. In Jewish understanding, one inheritance extended to the physical goods to name and status. For theological perspective for us, we are heirs together with Christ, recipients of God's amazing grace, not at some moment in the future, but rather that gift is here and now. That gift is here and now. So that every spiritual blessing we receive from God is here and now, my brothers and sisters, not for the future use. So we are chosen and blessed to be the children of God in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing to fulfill God's will. I repeat myself. We are chosen and blessed to be the children of God in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing to fulfill God's purpose. So we have two purposes which describes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 10, for us to fulfill as the chosen and blessed children of God. They are unity in oneness of mind, the mind of Christ, and the holiness before God in worships. So both are vital and non-negotiable. Unity and holiness, they are not only difficult in themselves, but they are difficult when they come together. So N.T. Wright rightly pointed out, I quote, "Unity alone is comparatively easy. If you don't care about holiness, you can all get together and turn a blind eye to people's behavior. Likewise, holiness is comparatively easy. If you don't care about unity, you just follow rigorous standards you set for yourself and split off from anyone who disagrees." End quote. So even though it seems impossible for us, my brothers and sisters, but it is our call for every single Christian as our duty and our joy. It is a mystery of God that we have been adopted and called by God in Christ Jesus to be the channel of every spiritual blessing to fulfill these two wills of God, unity and holiness. Unity and holiness. For the unity, Christian living challenges the individualistic assumptions of modern culture. It confronts the notions of we are independent, autonomous person. Success depends on being able to live independently from others. But to the contrary, the Bible affirms that it is as though the church, the community, that we ultimately recognize that it what it means to be in Christ. So for us, my brothers and sisters, unity in oneness, we need to answer these two questions. The first question is, what does it mean to live an extended across cultures and traditions? Secondly, how are we to live together and unified when being obviously a different humans? So these two questions, we remember that we affirm our faith in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. For that, our starting point must have been the same mind of King Jesus and his works in our lives. Subsequently, our community needs the grace of King Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So my brother and sister, to enjoy this relationship with God as a children, we are obligated to imitate our Father and cultivate one family as our God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what does it mean for us to be in Christ for one cathedral family? Before we share our peace with one another, the priest says, we are the body of Christ in the one spirit. We were all baptized in one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and build up our common life. During the Eucharistic prayer, the priest says, we break this bread to share the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So in our worship, we become one. But what about our church life? So as you can see, our cathedral family is moving towards that one family across all services, timing, all ages, children, young, old, and translocal as well as trans-ethnic family. So the visual illustrations for us today here is, it is me here. I'm one of you as a family of God. Even though I come from afar, different ethnicity, different background, different culture, different geography, different food, yet we are one, my brothers and sisters. We are one. So holiness before God in worship. Regarding that, by virtue of our union with Christ, we have our blame removed, and it is also supplied with Christ's righteousness. We are bought with the price of his Son's own blood. So church fathers, John Chrysostom writes, I quote, you have been elected, he says, in order to be holy and unblemished before his face. He himself, he made us saints, but we are called to remain saints. Called to remain saints. A saint in one who lives in faith is unblemished and leads a blameless life, end quote. So, divine election on one side and our sonship and daughtership on the other side comes with responsibility, my brothers and sisters. Our Heavenly Father do not spoil us with the spiritual blessings, and he disciplined us sometimes for our good so that we may share his holiness. So for us to live is in the conscious presence of our Father in both our public life and private life. The God we worship is holy, 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 Lord of God, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. So in him we receive every spiritual blessing. So our response should be living ethically, both individually and in the communities. In that way we promote blessings. So then our life is determined by the character of God and Christ Jesus. So that is why Basil the Great reminded us to check our behavior for the holiness at home, at our private faces for the holiness. He writes, I quote, the bread in your cupboard belongs to the hungry persons. The coat hanging unused in your closet belongs to the one who needs it. The shoe rotten in your closet belongs to the person with no shoes. The money which you put in the bank belongs to the poor. You do wrong to everyone you could help, but fail to help. So that is why our worship today, we begin with this beautiful prayer to reflect ourselves in the collect of purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, in whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspirations of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. This prayer helps us to reflect before we enter into the presence of God and worship him, to receive God's gift from him, his broken body and his blood. So it comes to the end of my homily, my brothers and sisters. Our lives are not our own, to the extent that we seek to make them of our own. Our steps are in line with, aligned with God's eternal purpose, design, and God's calling. God meets us where we are, and sometimes he confronts us in our own shortfalling. God moves, God acts, and God also judges, because he has a capacity to save and redeem. So as Blaise Pascal once observed, the God of Christianity, he said, I quote, "A God of love and consolations, a God who fills the souls and hearts of its own, a God who makes them feel their inward righteousness, and his infinite mercy who unite him to their inmost spirit, filling with humanity and joy, with confidence and love, rendering them incapable of any end other than himself. Rendering them incapable of any end other than himself." So God was in Christ reconciling the world to God's self, not counting our trespasses, but making us the ambassador of reconciliation. So let us live our life into our adoptions as a chosen and blessed children of God in Christ Jesus, with every spiritual blessings to fulfill God's purposes for unity and holiness. So let us live the hope we have in Christ, the resurrections, so we don't fear death anymore. Let us persevere the race which is set before us with a thankful heart. So my brother and sister, let us respond with this song, "Come thou fount of every blessings." With these blessings, may we be the blessings for others. May we be the channel of God's blessings. Music, please.
Raise the mountain, feast upon.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.